Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, man who's getting plenty of sleep, he's doing exercise during the day, he's getting himself primed, ready to roll, because the season begins shortly.
Two-a-days.
Yep, he is Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, where he covers the Browns, and you can read all of his work on brownzone.com. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're just sitting here. I'm in let's-get-to-training camp mode, all right? Cavs season is over. Indians are at the All-Star break. I am truly thinking about football more so than at any time since. And we saw Baker Mayfield's own personalized logo that's out now, because that's what every guy needs is his own personalized logo.
Right.
You know, LeBron has one. Kyrie has one. Now Baker Mayfield has one. So let's bring on football, shall we?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I want to play golf a few more days before training camp starts, but it can start next Thursday, and I won't have any complaints. I mean, it's time, you know, and I think there is excitement around this team, and probably deservedly so. You know, a lot of changes in the offseason. You got Baker, you got Tyrod. I think there's plenty of storylines and plenty to watch when we get going next.
That's exactly what I was going to say, and most of them are positive stories, where in the past it was forced to be negative. And I get the impression it's not going to be that way for a while.
Yeah, I agree with you, Les. You know, I think there's still a possibility of, you know, we got to talk about Hugh Jackson's future. You know, I don't think that's secure, especially if they start slowly. We're coming off 1-31, and I know a lot of people are ready to move on, but, you know, you still have to look back and say, okay, it's 1-31. What's realistic expectations for the jump to be made this year? And, you know, from the fans I talk to, and, you know, they're not focused on that. They're moved past that, and they're focused on what kind of jump this team can make, which is great and important, but that also makes the start of the season that much more important.
Scott
because,
Patrick.
You know, if they go 0-3, 0-4, a lot of stuff can unravel. But if they get off to a nice 2-2 start, I think things calm down and you get into a normal NFL season, which we haven't had in a long time.
Scott Petrak joining us. Scott, I don't want to be in a position to defend Hugh Jackson or to say that he should get a long leash here. But if you're bringing back a guy who's 1-31 and did not win a game last year as your head coach, I think he deserves a look. And to me, the start almost is irrelevant. If they go 0-3, he's still my head coach.
Why?
Why would you bring him back if you were 0-16?
Well, first of all, it's uncharted territories. 1-31 has never happened before.
Exactly. So my thought, Scott, why do you bring that guy back if you're going to make a change if he doesn't win the first two or three or four games or win one or two of them or whatever? I think you have to look and see if the team is improved. And honestly, I think the guy, and I'm not impressed. I haven't been impressed with you as a head coach. I think the guy deserves a really, really long leash here because they brought him back when the record was so awful.
Yeah, but at the same time, they were bringing in John Dorsey, and it's going to be John Dorsey's call, and Hugh isn't John Dorsey's guy.
Right.
I get all that, but what do you think, Scott?
I think your point's well taken, Jeff, except, and I think the Haslams feel that way. You know, I've never gotten the sense from Jimmy or D that they're ready to move on from Hugh, and we talked to D at the Hugh's late jump, and she, you know, went on and on about how she thinks Hugh's got the right characteristics. So I think they're all in with Hugh as much as you can be all in with the 1-31 coach. But I think Les's point is valid that John Dorsey is the X factor, and that's what changed, you know, at the end of last year. And if the team doesn't start well, and, you know, and I'm just throwing, you know, it could be 0-6 or 1-5. I mean, who knows what that total of games is. But if it doesn't start well and Hugh Dorsey or John Dorsey sees or pins the blame on Hugh for that, then I think it would be hard for the Haslams to defend Hugh if Dorsey came to him and said, you know what, this isn't my guy and it's not going to be my guy. Do we want to get it done now or do we want to wait till the end of the season?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a very real possibility. Now, I think they're going to be better, but you still need to win those games. And the other half of that, you know, unknown scenario is if you're bad, you know, win-loss record, 0-4, whatever, there's not a whole lot of reason to keep Tyrod Taylor in the lineup, you know? And then you start playing a rookie, and then wins are tougher to come by, and that's fine if you're not Hugh Jackson fighting for every win because you're trying to keep your job. So I think there's a couple of big variables that could go the other way if things don't get off to the start that obviously the organization wants.
It seems to me, and I was not the fly on the wall in the meeting, but that had to be the first thing to come up for discussion when Dorsey was hired here. And I think he had to make it clear that Hugh is not his guy, but he's going to go along with the owner on the first one, but the second one is his call.
I would think so. You know, and I think the Haslams were strong, at least that's what they want us to think, and that's what they said, is they were strong about wanting Hugh to come back. And when the Sashi move was made to Dorsey, you know, Dorsey did not have a choice there. But it seems beyond reality to believe that Dorsey said, yeah, we can keep Hugh forever, and I'm going to get pinned with a bad win-loss record. That just doesn't happen. And I think the Haslams are realistic enough to know that. And I'm fine with you getting this other year. I would have been fine with you not getting the third year, right? I mean, at 1-31, mm-hmm. I think everybody would have bought in, okay, it's time for a fresh start. So I get Jeff's point that if you're going to bring him back, give him a chance in this third year. I'm just not sure that's realistic if it starts to go really bad, because then I think a lot of people are going to turn the focus on Hugh even more so, because John Dorsey's got a clean slate, and it looks like all the moves he made, or most of the moves he made, were quality.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, I don't think, unlike other times, I don't think you blame the owner on that situation.
And Scott, I'm surprised he came. I'm surprised they brought him back. I'm with you. 1-31 and a new general manager who clearly is the guy in charge of the organization, I'm stunned that they brought him back. And that's part of my reasoning that you brought him back, so you might as well see if you have what you think you have, because why bring him back?
Well, you can't go through 16 games of
2-14
I get your point, Jeff, but it probably would be most fair to give him the whole season and see if the team develops, because it's a lot of new guys. They have to develop chemistry. I just think if it starts badly, Hugh's going to be the guy that gets blamed for it.
Scott, other than the quarterback situation, what two or three major stories are you looking for as camp opens up?
Yeah, well, you know, I want to talk about quarterback real quick. To me, I think it's really interesting that for the first time, and I don't know when, we're not going to be talking about a quarterback competition.
Right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have said that when they drafted Baker. I wouldn't have said it when they started OTAs, because I thought Baker was going to make a push for the starting job. But now I'm convinced it's Tyrod Taylor's. So I think that's noteworthy that the Browns look like they have their starting quarterback, and it's not going to be a daily who's winning the quarterback competition.
Yeah, where every pass counts.
Right. But after that, it's left tackle. I know the Browns are worried about it. If they weren't, they wouldn't have brought in Greg Robinson after minicamp. And I think left tackle, if you're weak there, has a chance to sabotage your entire offense, which has the promise to be good. So we need to see who takes that job, whether it's Sean Coleman, or I think they prefer Austin Corbett to win the job, or, you know, is it Greg Robinson in a fallback, or worst case scenario, Joel Bitonio. Then you got to figure out what you're going to do at linebacker. You got four starting caliber linebackers, and I'm fascinated to see how Greg Williams is going to pick and choose who starts, who plays in nickel, because a lot of times there's only going to be two linebackers on the field unless you move Jamie Collins to defensive end. And then what happens at receiver? You know, I mean, you got Josh Gordon, assuming he stays eligible. Jarvis Landry's a lock. Is Corey Coleman your third guy? Is Antonio Callaway going to take away snaps from him, which I think is entirely possible if he stays out of trouble and healthy? So those are the first things that jump out at me that I'm going to be paying attention to when we get going.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Folks in Pittsburgh today on Le'Veon Bell watch, because there's a 4 o'clock deadline for him to sign a multi-year contract or play for the franchise tag again. If I'm the Steelers, Scott, I'm got to be honest, I'm not going to pay a running back a multi-year contract because the franchise tag is something like $14 million. And Bell says he'll play on the franchise tag. Well, sure, he wants a lot more than that per year, or said, I want at least the franchise tag over multiple years. I'm sorry, man. I don't know that I'm paying a running back that kind of money in this day and age in the NFL.
I agree with you, Jeff. And I think that's why they haven't been able to come to a deal the last couple of years, right? I mean, Le'Veon Bell is a great player, and I'm sure he has a high value of himself. But the position he plays, even though he plays, even though he catches a lot of balls, he's still a running back. He still takes a ton of hits. And just look at the way that, you know, we talked about the draft a million times. I would not have taken Saquon Barkley at number two because I think you're paying a running back too much. And then what happens when he comes up for the end of that contract? You got to pay him again, and these guys don't perform through that second contract normally unless you're a special, special back.
Hey, Scott,
you can go get Carlos Hyde for $5 million. You know, you can get Nick Chubb at number 35. So, you know, I'd be surprised if a deal gets done, and I think that's way more about the state of running back in this league and where this league is from a pass run perspective than it has anything to do about Le'Veon Bell.
Well, so let me ask you this, and let's project down eight games. Let's say they're 4-4, 3-5, something positive based on last couple of years. If that happens, did they have a good running game, or did they have a very good passing game?
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about that. And you need to throw the ball in this league. There's no doubt about it. But I think people are just in nature are reactionary. And the way the Browns went the last 2 years and not being able to establish that run and stick to the run, Jeff, you were number one talking about that last year. Yep. I think there's going to be a commitment to run the ball, and I think we saw that in the moves John Dorsey made by signing Hyde and drafting Chubb and then signing Duke Johnson to that extension. So you're going to need to throw the ball, and the Browns have the weapons to do that. But I think they are going to show a commitment to the run early that will free up some of the passing game. But I just don't think Todd Haley, I think he'll be strong enough and committed enough to say, we're going to run the ball. What number that is? 18 times, 20 times a game, way more consistently than Hugh did in his first 2 years.
Scott, thank you, sir. Rest up. Training camp straight ahead.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak. Thanks, Scott. You can read his work at brownzone.com. And the Browns getting fired up.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.